Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From their hiding spot, they watched him trudge on up the hill. They were sobbing in his absence. He was pounced upon by the enemy. He could have defended himself and destroyed them all, but he did not. He remained silent. His arms and his legs were bound. Before they hoisted him up, they stripped him of his dignity. With his shame fully exposed, the jeers and the mockery intensified. The two in their hiding place could not believe their eyes. Their friend, their master, with power to help himself, did nothing. Like a lamb before her shears is silent, neither did he open his mouth. Finally, the inevitable blow came. The great lion, Aslan, was dead. C.S. Lewis's telling of the death of Aslan poignantly portrays the willing suffering of Christ. Not only did he endure the physicality of whips, of nails, of cross, he drank in the insults and the mockery of the crowds. That acceptance of the mockery of Christ's enemies is truly stunning. You know all too well the prick in your conscience when your dignity, your reputation is threatened. You know that feeling that boils up inside of you, making you speak out in your own defense, in the defense of others who are attacked. All the more we see in our society that trash talking is commonplace. Back and forth the banter goes from one to the other until actions finally speak louder than words. Neither wants to be the loser. Both fight hard to win. That is a feeling you know all too well also. When it comes to a fight, to an argument, you want to win. You have to win. There is no victory in defeat, no glory, only agony and shame. But when was the last time you gave in? When was the last time that you did not speak what was on your heart and in your mind and let the other person triumph? Can you remember back that far? Or at all? And when you have won, what is left? What was lost? Was it worth it? Samson was God's own strong man. By God's power, Samson was able to destroy the enemies of God. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. No mocker of God would withstand Samson's might. But Samson became arrogant and complacent. He trusted Delilah, a woman of beauty, instead of God. And away went his power. With eyes gouged out, suffering humiliation and shame, being forced to hear the mockery of his God, Samson prayed for power one last time. And he got revenge on his enemies and God's enemies. With all of his strength, he brought down the whole house, killing all inside, over 3,000, including himself. David, too, was fed up with the mockery of God. David was a young man when he heard the railings of the giant Goliath against the only true God, the God of Israel. No one had the right to mock his God, David thought. And God gave David victory over Goliath. He guided David in his attack on the giant, allowing the smooth river stone to sink into the forehead of the man. And down he went. David beheaded the giant and paraded around with his head as a trophy, pronouncing victory over the one who had mocked his God. These are truly great biblical stories where you cannot help but to feel pride in the people of God. You and I love hearing those stories of the wicked getting their comeuppance. You love it when that saying in Scripture is fulfilled, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." There's a part of you and a part of me deep down inside that wants to see justice done, that wants to see the wicked pay for their sins. And when mockery is added into the mix, those feelings arise and strengthen all the more. Oh, that the mockers of our God would be silenced, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me. You and I, we buddy up nicely to James and to John when we view others as not receiving our Lord, saying, "Lord, do you want us to call upon fire from heaven and consume them?" Then there was Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. At the attempt to arrest his master, Peter lashed out with the sword. What was Jesus' response? Was it, "Yes, Peter, fight on. Defend my honor and my name. Save me from these men"? Far from it. Instead, our Lord says, "Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" To James and John, Jesus gave a stern rebuke. No such violence or anger will ever be permitted in the name of Christ. And in the face of the most obvious and the most evil of opposition, Jesus remained silent. When taunted and mocked, he said nothing. He took it, all of it, for you and for me. He would not give in to the devil's temptation to come down off of the cross. He did not do what comes most naturally for you and for me in our very sinful condition. He did not fight back. Jesus did not defend himself, did not defend his honor or his name. He let the worst of the worst happen to him because he could take it. God could take it, and he did. All of it. Jesus took it all there to the cross. Your sins of pride and impenitence, of anger and lust for revenge. Jesus did not fight to win at the cross. Jesus did not fight so that he would lose. He gave up his life, knowing full well what was still to come. It was what he had prophesied time and time again, what the Scriptures had foreseen, his own resurrection from the dead. Jesus gave in to mockery, to insults, to humiliation. We are to go and do likewise. us. Christ would have these life-changing passages from His Word dominate our thinking and our behaviors as His people. Words like, "Do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For so by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." You are baptized into Christ. You are His people, prized possession. You are Christians, to be Christ to others. All that He has so richly showered upon you, from His good grace, from His mercy, you are to readily and freely give out to others. His forgiveness is for you to take and to enjoy and to give out to others as well. In this life, you will have troubles. You will have tribulation. You will be mocked. And many will mock the name of our Lord. He can take it. And by His power, His love, and by His promise that you have victory already in Jesus, you can take it too. Lucy and Susan mourned at the death of their friend, the lion Aslan. They were saddened by the treatment performed on him by his enemies. How these could be so cruel. And those enemies thought they had won, that they had the victory. Susan and Lucy were treated to a sight they never expected, the sight of Aslan alive again, raised from the dead. So shall you be treated on the last day. Our Lord rose from the dead on the third day, never to die again. He has claimed victory over sin, death, and the devil. That victory He gives to you as He crowns you with glory forever on the last day. To our God alone be all glory and all honor through our Lord Jesus Christ, the mocked and glorified King. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus, our King. Amen.